For more information, check out their website at effectconf.com.
Have you received your KBOO Silent Drive letter in the mail? Here's your chance to support your favorite community radio station and enter a chance to win some fabulous prizes. No letter? No worries. Go to KBOO.fm to find out more about what you could win when you donate to KBOO between now and September 14th. Here's a teaser. The grand prize is a 3-day, 2-night stay at El Dorado Resort and Casino with airfare in the biggest little city in the world. Yes, that's Reno, Nevada. The first prize is a night out on Burnside with a night at the Jupiter Hotel, with dinner at Le Pigeon, drinks at Cider Riot, and breakfast at Grendel, so you can dive deep into the Burnside nightlife. And our second prize will allow you to stock up on medicinal and recreational treats at Jane PDX. Go to kboo.fm to donate. When we come together, we build our community's resilience, and there's no better time to invest in KBOO than now.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio of the Working Class, by the Working Class, for the working class, the only program of its type in Oregon or Southwest Washington. I'm Stephen Siegel, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Reiser. Chris.
Good evening.
And also on the phone from Chicago, we've got Sarah Chambers. Hey, Sarah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks good.
For having me.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah, it's great to have you with us. Just a quick reminder, everybody, that Labor Radio comes on every Monday at 6 o'clock. And Chris and I are public school teachers and host every second Monday of the month. So, Sarah, why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about the beginning of your teaching career, when and why you got into teaching, that kind of stuff, your early days.
Sure. So I've been teaching. I'm in my 9th year teaching now. And, you know, I grew up with a family of activists. So as a little kid, I would be going to marches, anti-war marches and different social justice marches. And so, you know, it really made me want to become a teacher, just because I think being a teacher is one of the best ways to change the world. And also my mom and my cousin both have disabilities, so that kind of made me lean more towards special education.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you mentioned special education, but say a little bit more about what subjects and grade levels you've been teaching since you started.
Sure. So the past 8 years, I've been teaching 7th and 8th grade, basically all subjects, mostly students with learning disabilities, but also some with autism, behavioral disorders, things of that nature. And then this year, I'm teaching high school and all science.
All science.
Yep.
And how's it going so far?
Going well. It was my first year teaching high school, but yeah, I really love it. It's a big change from eighth grade, and you know, the kids are a lot more independent, and yeah, teaching science is fun with all the experiments, so it's been a good year so far.
That's great. Hey, Sarah, Chris here. So, I wanted to ask you, you know, there's a couple of clear passions that you have when you speak out as regards education. You know, one of those things that you talk about often, as is your background, is special education and advocating for the needs of special ed students. And another thing that you're known to articulate is a disdain for the financial system that your school district currently has set up. Could you just talk a little bit more about how banks end up getting some of this public school money and how that may or may not adversely affect the special ed and the budget in general?
So right now, you know, in Chicago Public School District, and I'm sure it's happening in districts across the country, you know, we have big deficits. Our schools are being starved of the resources. You know, they're cutting art classes, music classes. They're cutting away from special education by the millions. Class sizes are increasing. And, you know, the United States is one of the richest countries in history. It's still a very rich country, yet there still is not enough money for education. And so in Chicago, we've had, you know, big movements and big fights for progressive revenue because the money is there. And so we've been pushing for a millionaire's tax, which would just be a tax, you know, on the richest people in Illinois. We've been fighting for taxes on financial transactions. So New York actually has this tax, and we would like that as well in Chicago, which could provide, you know, even up to $1 billion, and it's only a 1 cent tax on every trade. There's also something called tactics interest swap. And so what that means is our district does a lot of, you know, they basically get a lot of debt from constantly borrowing from these banks, and they have crazy interest rates. And instead of renegotiating and getting these interest rates down, they keep paying exorbitant fees to these banks. And it's a big problem because what we've seen is, you know, we've had bankers on our board of education because it's appointed by the mayor. And I'm sure this is happening in other cities as well. And that's really a big conflict of interest. So we're saying, you know, you need to renegotiate this money, put the money back into our schools, and, you know, especially into special education. Those are our students that need it most. And we've seen devastating effects to our special education programs with students not getting their legally required services.
Yeah. And could you say more? You mentioned that, you know, there have been bankers on the board. Had there been any established connections and clear conflicts of interest, say that some of the institutions who are lending money to the district are also have members represented or employees or executives on the board?
Yeah. So we had David Vitale. He was a board member on the Board of Education, and he was also on the board of a bank. I'm trying to remember which bank exactly, but the district actually, they borrowed money in massive millions from his bank, and it was a very clear conflict of interest. And we've seen similar cases even with, you know, charter school operators on the Board of Education. And so what we see is when they're taking votes as to whether to close a school and open a charter, of course they're going to vote yes because it's in their it's in their interest. They're on the board of these charters as well. And so that's why we're really fighting for an elected school board. We've had an appointed school board here for, you know, years, and that's really causing us a lot of problems.
Yeah, I've definitely been hearing a lot about issues coming out of the mayor's office as regards schools. So moving forward into this, you have been active for, you've been in the district all 8 years. This is your ninth year teaching, is that correct?
Yes.
And all of your previous 8 years were in Chicago Public Schools. Right out of graduate school, you went right into Chicago Public Schools, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Right after I graduated in May.
Yeah. And you, my understanding is that pretty much from day one, you got involved in education because it's a place where you can empower young people to make the world better off than they left it. And so you've been an activist really from day one in terms of the way that you roll, both in the classroom and advocating for your students. So talk about, like, all of the sudden, when you realized that your administration was targeting you. Could you just start from there? When you realized that you were being targeted, and you know, the accusations. I know that there were some claims that you had done something inappropriate with the park, the performance. Could you help me out? What's that acronym?
The park is the Common Core test.
Right.
That's for Illinois.
And then the second allegation that was leveled against you for by the district was that you had inappropriately coerced and used students. So if you could just talk a little bit about when you realized that you were being targeted, and then if you could just address what those accusations were and what the story was behind that.
Yeah, so I found out the first week of April of last year. The day before spring break, I had taught, you know, all day, had a great day, was all excited, getting ready for spring break, and I was leaving for Brazil, actually, to go to a union conference the next morning. And I get a call on my ride home from our vice president, Jesse Sharkey, saying that the school district wants to fire me from all the schools, all 600 schools in the district. Mm. And I am just completely flabbergasted. I mean, at first I thought it was a joke. I've never gotten written up. You know, I've gotten all distinguished ratings. And, you know, sure enough, I check my email a little bit later, and there did I have an email saying I'm suspended, except it gives no reason why whatsoever. It just says I'm to stay home and I'm suspended. No charges. And so, you know, Jesse Sharkey, the VP, had told me that they're accusing me of these completely ridiculous accusations around PARS, and which is just completely absurd. I mean, I've known for being, you know, an activist. I've been on the executive board since my second year teaching, been on the bargaining team twice. You know, you always know when you're a strong activist in a school district that there could be a target on your back.
Right.
And I spoke at many Board of Education meetings, you know, have led a lot of protests around special education, and was really leading a lot of these fights around the city, and was really vamped up, I should say, in the last year. I mean, we were in the news around special education almost every month, and which you have to know, you know, obviously makes them quite upset. Because they, you know, the district wants to get away with breaking the law. And so, you know, they put these absurd accusations on because they're trying to silence me as a whistleblower.
Mm.
And it's not just about going after me and trying to get me out of the district. It's actually trying to silence all the teachers who, you know, might be standing up for their kids, might be saying, hey, this is wrong, this is illegal. And when they see something like this happen, the district's hoping that it'll silence them. But they won't stand up and fight back because they'll say, hey, I don't want this to happen to me.
Right.
And so, you know, when this came through, you know, a lot of people, when they're, you know, accused of something like this, they might just kind of hide in their house. But I said, no, you know, I grew up fighting for social justice, and that's why I became a teacher. And so, you know, we kept on having protests, and my parents and students, the community really came through behind me. And there's really mass protests after they suspended me, you know, petitions with thousands of signatures. I actually had over 50% of city council wrote me letters and emailed actually the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, demanding my reinstatement. So there's really a big movement to get me reinstated. But, you know, I've known that there's a chance they might target me at some point in time, just with being an activist.
So it's just a question of you were just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. Yep. I was a little shocking that they're trying to fire me from the entire district, but you know, I've had friends who are also activists, like, you know, Shion Franzinger Barrett, and you know, that they've tried to fire as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, one of the responses that sometimes I hear when I'm in these kind of conversations is, well, you know, you just got to be really careful, you know, really, really careful that you do everything right. You know, if you're going to be outspoken, just be really careful in your every move and what you say. And you know, my thinking is, it doesn't matter how careful you are. If you're outspoken and if they want to target you, they'll make stuff up, right?
Yep. They will find a way to target you. You know, most teachers, they go after them by the ratings. That's by far the most common way. We see this a lot. You know, they target even by race in Chicago. They target a lot of black teachers, a lot of veteran teachers by their ratings, and a lot of activists, to be frank. They target by their ratings. And they weren't able to do that to me. So I think they just had to find another way.
Yeah. Just real quick, are you in Chicago Public Schools, are your test scores tied to your performance evaluations?
So for the state of Illinois, there's a law where you have to have a certain percentage. So for us, it's around, I think by now, because it's increased over the years, I think it's 30% by now. But it's not just, it's, the park isn't connected whatsoever. It's the NWA test. And then we also have a performance task.
Right. Okay. But those things actually go into and are part of your evaluation.
Only the performance task.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was talking over you.
Oh, sorry. For some teachers, depending on what you teach, it's only a performance task.
Okay.
So, but the Common Core PARC test isn't on anyone's evaluations in Illinois.
Okay.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio. So Sarah, you have a history of being outspoken, speaking out for marginalized groups, really focused on social justice, and you were targeted and fired, right? So
I'm technically suspended, but it's like being fired. I'm suspended without pay, and they're
suspended without pay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So talk about your union now. Of course, Chicago Teachers Union, for anybody who follows unions, the labor movement at all, they're sort of considered the all-star union. So talk about how helpful your union was. How helpful were they? Were there some times where you wished they had done something differently? Talk about your experience there with your union.
So the Chicago Teachers Union was very helpful. They immediately launched an organizing campaign. Because some unions, when things like this happen, they just fight it in the courts, which is all, or due process, right? And that's all great and good, but the problem is that can last a very long time. Mm. And so we, launched an organizing campaign. So the organizers, they had protests, people speaking in the news. We were in almost every major news station in Chicago, contacting these aldermen. And then we also have the major cases. So we filed a federal lawsuit for, they're trying to fire me for being a whistleblower. And we actually have a bunch of different cases going right now. So the union is very supportive. And I'd also like to say our caucus, the Caucus for Rank and File Educators, was also very supportive as well. So our caucus is the ones leading the union, but it's also a separate group. So, yeah, and just parents and students and the community also helped out a lot.
And so since the language was that you are suspended without pay, but you're not an employee, how does that impact your union membership, or does that impact your union membership in any way?
No, because it's just frozen as of right now. So I maintain I'm still a member, and I'm actually working at a charter high school right now since I can't work in any public schools right now. And we're voting probably in December on whether these charter schools will merge with the Chicago Teachers Union. Mm. Which is kind of interesting, because then it might just even be within CTU. But yeah, I'm still a Chicago Teachers Union member.
Okay. So you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but do you want to say a little bit more about just where things stand now, or what's coming up next in terms of any sort of timeline for, you've talked about some things that are sort of on the horizon. Do you have a sense for what's coming next?
Yeah, you got several lawsuits. You guys have been pushing in the media and staying out in the streets. What's the status like on the legal front?
In the courts, it does take a while. It could take a number of months, so there's not too much of an update there yet. The cases have been filed, and you can actually read about it all online even now. I'm staying active within the union, so I'm still on the Special Education Task Force, which works with teachers and parents and students on, organizing Fight Back for special education, because there's still obviously a lot of problems in the district. So I'm staying active and still continuing on with the fight.
You got to do something with all that spare time you have as a teacher, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
yeah. So I have a question. So you're still involved on the SPED task force. SPED, it seems like that's like that's really where your heart, your passion, your experience comes from. Can you talk in a little bit more detail? What are some of the specifics that you see as problematic, and what are some of the solutions that you see from your perspective in Chicago? What are the problems, and where do you see the fixes?
So major problems, funding is one of the biggest problems with special education. They're not funding it properly. Because special education, it's it's under federal law, right?
Right.
And so right now, every single state has to follow Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA. Right. And what we're seeing is that's not being followed in our schools. So, for example, let's say a student needs help in math. They need two teachers in math. They're not getting that service. And so what we're doing really to fight back against that is the best way to fight is joining with parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents have a lot of power in this, and so we've been doing Know Your Rights trainings with parents, trying to focus, you know, on the school level. If school is a problem where the services aren't being met, trying to figure out a way maybe to have protests or do petitions or finding different organizing methods to push back, because, you know, fighting it legally can take a while.
Not to mention the financial resources that it takes, right, to marshal all those resources to be able to fight the fight.
Yeah, it takes a while, but organizing, I think, is really the best method. You know, if parents know that their kids aren't getting the services, most parents will fight back.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it seems like you're a little bit in it. You're working this charter job, but you've had some time. I know you've stayed active regardless of your status. But having had a little bit of time to reflect on where all this started, what would you say you have learned? How have you grown from this experience? And, you know, what really sticks with you from this experience? How have you changed?
I mean, this year has been a very tough year, probably one of the toughest of my life. But, you know, I've had that great support network with the Chicago Teachers Union, you know, with my students and their parents. That's been really helpful. And, you know, my advice to other teachers is just don't be afraid. I don't want people to see this and cower. You know, all you all didn't become teachers to cower at injustices. You know, we need to stand up for our students, and we need to stand up against corruption that's happening in our district. And I guarantee there's some corruption happening in a lot of the major districts around the city. And if you do what's right, the community will be on your side. You know, we will have justice. And I have no regrets in standing up for my students. I can't imagine being a teacher and not advocating for them.
Yeah, of course not, right? I mean, what else are we here for?
Exactly.
So going back, you said that you guys are kind of in a fight to try to change the way that the district is run right now. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who was Obama's chief of staff for a minute, is that right? Before he bounced back to take the mayoralty, a word I just learned from Juan Gonzalez on Democracy Now. So how are you guys going about that? What structure are you looking to move to? Because here we have independent school boards that are elected by zones, and so we have an elector system for our school boards. How does that look in Chicago, and how are you guys looking to change that?
So ours is all completely appointed by the mayor, and we've been really well in pushing for an elected school board by, you know, canvassing, doing door knocking, talking with our elected officials, and the bill for elected school board has actually passed through our House and our Senate, but it hasn't been able to get passed through the governor. So we are, you know, making headway. It's still challenging. Just in Illinois, you know, we've had this appointed board for a long time, and it all depends on who the mayor is. And typically the mayors in Chicago are pretty corrupt. So right now, you know, we're looking at getting that bill passed. We want a better mayor. Rahm Emanuel has really been, you know, closing a lot of our schools, privatizing our schools, and starving our schools. So it's going to be an uphill battle, but, you know, the movement's growing, so I remain, you know, optimistic.
I'm just curious, what are the arguments given for not having an elected board?
It's mostly, to be honest, people who are for an elected school, for appointed school board, are people who aren't from Chicago. So they're people from other parts of the state who say, oh, they don't know how to control their school district, so others need to control it. But that argument doesn't really make sense, because the schools have been starving. So clearly this is not working.
Right.
But I don't know a single person in Chicago, I mean, that would want an appointed school board besides, you know, the 1% or Rahm Emanuel and his lackeys.
Right. Right. And just for history for any listeners out there, Rahm Emanuel oversaw the closing of over 50 schools since 2012. And then you could probably speak more to the specifics here, but many of them have been or are intended to be replaced with charter institutions. Is that correct, Sarah?
Yep.
Okay. Could you say a little bit more about that?
And they're mostly in African-American neighborhoods. Of the 50, it was majority were in African-American neighborhoods. And I suspect that they're going to do another big round of closures of the high schools soon.
Hmm. That is just devastating. Okay. So any parting thoughts that you have for our audience who's out there listening in Portland and the region and beyond?
Just, you know, keep doing the good work you're doing. I know school year has just started pretty recently, or at least in the past month. And, you know, I know it seems hard, but if it's hard for you, imagine, you know, how difficult it is for our kids during some of these times. So keep doing what you know is right. Keep teaching social justice and keep fighting.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sarah. Once again, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio, the Education Radio Edition. I'm here with Steven Siegel. My name is Chris Reiser. I want to let you know that coming up right behind us on Prison Pipeline, host Emma Lugo visits with Buckley and Maria from Critical Resistance Portland to talk about the mental health care, not policing campaign that Critical Resistance Portland is currently engaged in. You want to check that out at 6:30 tonight, right after we're done here. Also, for our listeners, I want to let you know that those of you who are family members, students in PPS, tomorrow, Tuesday, September 12th at 6:30 p.m., they are hosting a board listening session on the topic of middle schools. Ockley Green is the newest middle school to Portland Public Schools, and they're looking at rolling out two more schools, Harriet Tubman and Roseway Heights, I believe, is the other one. I may be misspeaking there, but I strongly encourage parents, families, students to attend and to offer your voice, especially if you see inequities in your students' education or in your neighborhood. Please show up and make sure that your voice is heard, because problems can't be addressed until they're identified. And often if you bring a problem to these spaces, you'll find solidarity with other parents, families, and educators from other parts of the city who are facing the same problem. So please come and check that out. Once again, you're listening to Labor Radio. My name is Chris Reiser. I'm with Steven Siegel, and I want to give a big shout out to our engineer, Danielle. Thank you so much for handling the phones, the mics, and the music. Everybody have a good evening, and stay tuned for Prison Radio.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Have you seen KBOO's Fuzzy Boo Van? It's a giant furry blue Muppet mobile that brings music and joy wherever it's found in Portland and across the region. We're having a contest this summer. If you spot the van, post a picture on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the hashtag FuzzyBoo, and you'll be entered to win a chance to have FuzzyBoo at your event, as well as other prizes. Each picture you take is another chance to win. For more info and clues on where to find the van, go to kboo.fm/fuzzyboo.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton, Thursday, September 21st at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. This month, KBOO at the Clinton will be featuring the documentary, I Am the Blues. I Am the Blues highlights the last original Blues Devils, many in their 80s, still living in the Deep South. Featured musicians include Barbara Lynn, Henry Gray, and Jimmy Duck Holmes. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton featuring I Am the Blues. Thursday, September 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Yeah, I'm so glad.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Division Midway Alliance Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 17th at the parking lot of Duke's Country Bar and Grill here in Portland. The Division Midway Alliance Festival of Nations is an exciting festival showcasing the best of East Portland's multicultural community and businesses together in one place. Festival activities include live entertainment, food, and specialty items only available at the festival. Again, that's the Division Midway Alliance Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 17th, 11 a.m. at the parking lot of Duke's Country Bar and Grill. The address is 14601 Southeast Division. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I am